Who here? I'm talking particularly to the younger ones. Or maybe you might even recognize him because we use this bubble a fair bit. Anyone recognize who this guy is? Anyone over here recognize this chap? Guys? You recognize this guy? No, he's not on TV very often. You recognize him? Anyone recognize this guy? Over there? How good's your eyesight, Arella? Can you read his name? Saul, yeah, that's right. Oh, this could be like an eye test, doesn't it? Can you read it from here? So this is a guy called Saul, and let's look at a few things about Saul. What do we know about Saul? Yep. Rory?
He changed into Paul.
Ah, very good, yeah. So he changed into Paul. Yep. Anything else?
He doesn't like God.
He doesn't like God. Okay, he certainly didn't like, he was very angry with Christians, wasn't he? This was a man called Saul, and he lived after Jesus had gone to heaven, and he was really angry with Christians, and wanted to put them in jail. Look guys, look Manny. You see this guy? So, let me just read this. Saul hated anyone who loved Jesus. He traveled around looking for them. He wanted to catch them and put them in prison. He wanted everyone to forget all about Jesus. He didn't believe Jesus was the rescuer, and he didn't believe Jesus was alive either. You see, Saul had never ever met Jesus. Okay, so is anyone in the here, adults might be able to help with this as well. What do you know about Saul's original design? Anyone know some stuff on that? Oh, that's good. Yeah, tell that again.
Tell people about Jesus when he's poor.
Yeah, I think that's part of this guy's original design. Anyone in particular?
Partly to kill people.
I don't think that's his original design. No, I don't think so. Anyone want to add to that? What else was in Saul's original design or Paul's original design? Oh, yeah, a teacher. And to go to who, Esther?
The Gentiles.
That's a strange word. What does that mean?
The people who weren't Jews.
Brilliant. So this guy, Saul, his original design was to go and tell people all around the world to believe in Jesus. But when we first meet him, when we first hear about him, what we just read here, what does it say he was doing just here? What did it say he was doing here? He was doing the opposite, exactly. Yeah. And then this man Saul, he's walking on this road to a city called Damascus. Have you heard of a Damascus Road experience? It means it's something really it's a really dramatic thing that happens. And this is where it first happened. So Saul was going to Damascus and he met Jesus there and his life was very different. We're going to hear from our special friend, Brenton, right now. Yeah. Because one of our passions here at Hope is the city of Bristol, and we pray regularly, don't we, for the city of Bristol, and we want to be an influence in the city of Bristol, and we know from newspapers and so on, and the news that violent crime is a real problem in Bristol, and as it is around the country, and so Brenton's going to tell us a bit of his story to inspire us, to encourage us, and to help us to pray for the city. And so just wanted to start off, if I have another microphone. Can we record this, Michael? Are we recording this? You're all over it, aren't you? Brilliant.
If you have this one, Brenton.
Got three questions for Brenton, and a bit like Saul just here. Our first question is, Brenton, what is your original design? Tell us a few things about what God says. How he made you.
So I picked a few things from here to concentrate on. So it says here, Brenton, a man of stature, gentle, a magnet, someone who others are drawn to, an example, a man of influence. And it says, your words are powerful. Another one is, I saw an egg, very thin outer layer, with a wonderful offering inside. So this is a real quality. You aren't hard.
That's great, thanks.
Another one says, you're a great man of God, a spiritual warrior, strong in thought, word, and deed, sensitive soul with a heart of gold, a leader, encourager, inspiration to others. And this one is kind of, it's quite powerful, this one, to me, because this was wrote not long after I've got out of prison. So it says, Brenton, what God had in mind when he made you. Just like these people are holding hands, it's like a picture of people in a circle holding hands. It's just like these people are holding hands together as friends of God. He's made you as someone who brings people together. You are a truth speaker who sometimes God uses to shake things up a bit. You do this very gentle, and because you are such a kind and calm person, you make change and challenge for people easier for them. An example is the way that you have said no. Is the way that you have said no to your old life. This shakes things up for people and makes them look at their own life. You are bringing a good challenge to them. You will do this in other areas too. Yeah, so that was quite big for me. Yeah,
that's cool, Brenton. Thanks. So original design is what God says about us, the way he makes us, the way he, the particular plans, purposes, gifts and callings he had on each of our lives. And we saw how Saul in the Bible started off, he wasn't walking in his original design, was he? He was arresting people. He was putting people in prison. He was persecuting Christians. And Brenton, can you tell us a bit about what your life was like before you met Jesus? And particularly, as we're wanting to be a blessing to the city in terms of crime and violence and that sort of thing, can you just give us a little insight into some of that for you?
Yeah. When Chris spoke to me, we prayed a bit about, and he asked me, what came to me. And I don't really want to go into too much detail. I just want to try and keep it simple. Just, it was quite the opposite of what I just read on the original design. The opposite, I was heavily into illegal substances from an early age, like 14, 15. Just moving with the wrong crowd. In and out of prison. And making money from illegal activities, and illegal substances and stuff. And my life has mainly been controlled by fear, fear. And when I'm doing illegal activities or I'm making money in illegal ways and stuff, I just found myself carrying a knife. Me standing here now, I can humbly say, I was afraid, I carried it for protection. But my intention, I didn't set out to willingly harm anyone. It's more of want to scare people away, Or when people want to take what I've got, there's a lot of young kids here today, what I can say from my experience, and I heard it before, if you carry a knife, you will use it, and me going through that experience, I know, people can say things, but when you actually experience it and you think, now I know what you mean, do you know what I mean? When you're in a commotion or in that moment, you do it without thinking, and after you think, whoa, did I actually do that? But that's if you carry something like that and you're in a situation, it will happen. So I just want to put a message to the young ones, if you know someone that's carrying a knife, like from my experience, you know, to let them know that, you know, that you could take someone's life, you know, you can end up in prison for a long time, you know. Luckily for me, you know, I'm not doing life in prison, you know. But yeah, it's a big learning curve, you know. To you know, I've lost a few people to knives. You know, it's sad. And when, you know, when Chris asked me to do this, you know, I battle with anxiety and fear now, day to day. Do you know what I mean? But you know, yeah, carrying the knife is for courage, really. You know, for you know. And I was fearful for a long time whilst carrying a knife, you know. But today, you know, the last original design I read out, you know, I'm actually living in my original design, yeah. You know. Well, yeah, so, you know, yeah.
Thanks, Brenton. I find it very moving and, you know, talking to Brenton. And I think one of the things for me, children, I'd be interested to know what your thoughts on this, is that when I hear, you know, particularly when I was younger maybe as well, when I hear stuff about gangs and things, and like in Italy there's some famous gangs called the Mafia, and I used to read things like Tintin and stuff, these comic books, and they would have gangs in them. And there was something about that which to me sounded quite exciting. And there's a kind of a strength and a kind of power, isn't there, in gangs and in violence and in carrying guns and that sort of thing. And so I just admit that part of me finds that kind of world kind of exciting in a way. Does anyone relate to that? A few of us. Maybe we're in, Freddie. So, Brenton, you've kind of moved in these circles a bit more than I have. And would you say that there is an excitement to it? Is that how you describe your experiences?
I wouldn't say what my experience is exciting, you know. But I know what you mean, like some of the, you know, the old films, you know, Scarface and all that, you know, Godfather, you know. But yeah, my experience of, you know, I wasn't into gang. When I was younger, I was in a gang, but I kind of moved out of the and in the other direction of using illegal substances when a lot of the people I grew up with started selling it and making lots of money. And so, you know, I was in a gang as a kid, you know, was doing petty crime, you know. But, yeah, you know, I sit back now, you know, and I see, you know, a lot of my old friends and stuff, you know, they're all out partying, drinking and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, but it doesn't seem interesting to me, you know. I just see like all the people that is doing life in prison and all the people that have died that I know, you know. And I just, when I say, you know, I'm living my original design, you know, the last one I read, you know, a lot of the time, you know, sometimes I can take on too much and then I have to step back, but it keeps me going, trying to help other people that have suffered in addiction and stuff, you know. So, I mean, I'm doing the peer mentoring for a bit, and it was funny because Christy was in the prison the other week, and he was going in there doing some things on Celebrate Recovery, and he said, "I seen your picture in there, a big poster in the prison," and I was like, "Yeah, we're both in there, we're both doing work." But it was funny. He said, "Oh, yeah, I seen you on a landing, a big poster." But it's quite mad because I was in TK Maxx the other day and I seen a guy and he was, and I was looking at the shoes and I can see him. I thought I'd scare him and I was like, "Wait!" And like, he was on the other side and like, "I'm all right." But he's just got out of Portland, Nick. And he said, "Oh, I seen your picture and all that out there." And, you know, and I said, I should take a leaf out of your book. And, you know, I was just on my break. I do bus driving now. So when I'm in town, I just like, hang around town for a bit. But yeah, it's great to know that people can see that I've changed and turned my life around, you know, because it's real when you actually know the person. It's more realer when you know them, what they were like. But yeah, just, you know, just doing some of the things I getting involved in, you know, it keeps me on the straight and narrow. just helping, walking beside people really that are struggling, people from Open Wednesday and just the other things that I get involved in and then step away from. Well, yeah.
Thanks, Brenton. So I find it really helpful, you know, moving away for me from this cartoon image of gangs and things, and I think violence, and talking with you and hearing your experience and sharing some stories of things that you've seen and so on, and actually it's pretty terrifying. And you talked about, you know, for you there's a lot of fear in there now, you know, in that whole world. And it makes me think about all the people in Bristol, the young people that there are now, teenagers, but others, who have an original design, a plan, a purpose that God has made them with, but actually are not living in that. They're trapped in a life of fear. And I think of you, Brenton, as a gentle giant is a phrase I think of. You're very strong and you're very big, but you're very gentle and you're very kind. And I know that so many people you're really encouraging to, and you just really help them, cheer them on in their journey. And it's really amazing seeing you live in that. And you were saying as well that, you know, some of the anxiety and stuff that you had earlier years, it hasn't all magically gone, and you're still walking that as a daily thing. But it's a walk we do with Jesus now, isn't it? And it's a putting your faith and your trust in Him. Can we give him a big cheer? Really inspiring, Brenton. Really, really inspiring. Thank you. And I think, surely all of us relate to that fear thing as well, don't we? We just have different settings, different experiences of life. One of the things we'd love to do now is we'd love to spend a bit of time praying, maybe thinking about people in particularly in Bristol that are involved in violence, knife crime, gangs, and that sort of thing, and praying for them together. So could we do that and have hi guys, nice to see you. Hi Tom, hi Hannah. Could we ask God to? In fact, why don't we, Esther? Could we? Where's Esther? Could we sing? No longer slaves. This is a wonderful song. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And as we sing this, could we be listening and asking God, how do you want us to pray this morning for the city? Children, you often hear youth. You often hear God's voice very clearly. So as we